The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Last Wednesday, you celebrated Independence Day. Not the 4th of July, Independence Day. And there was a poll that I saw last week that I want to talk to you about. A poll that said roughly 31% of voters said they believe it's likely the US will enter or experience a second civil war within the next 5 years. Of those, 11% said they think a civil war is very likely, quote unquote. There are always calls, and I've dealt with this issue in the past, but I think this time it's needs to be dealt with again. These people who, on both sides of the aisle, think it's time for, you know, a new revolution. I've seen it on both sides for the last 5-6 years. There are people who honestly believe a new revolution is needed in America. And that's my great fear. My great fear is that you have another revolution and you stop being exceptional. Because in so many ways, history has been taught differently in the last 50, 60 years. Your history has been whitewashed to make it seem it's something it's not, on all sides. There are sides in history who want to paint America as just all good. And there are people who want to paint American history as all bad. The truth is it's somewhere in between. America is an exceptional nation, but it is not perfect. You know, if you want me to sit down and talk to you about all the things you have done bad, I can do that all you want. You know, I don't know anyone who knows history that goes, well, you know what? You know what? The Battle of Wounded Knee, that was a great day in American history. Most people I know who understand history know that was a really, really bad day to be an American. That was a really bad day. There is no defending it. You know, you look at slavery. Slavery is always the big issue that people look back on. Slavery is, there is no way to paint slavery as a good thing in America. But those who want to slam America for slavery always seem to forget certain facts, like slavery is a human condition, not an American one. It wasn't created by an American. It wasn't created by those greedy capitalists who signed the Declaration of Independence. They never want to paint and share the facts of how, you know, slavery in the grand scheme of things didn't last that long in America. It lasted too long. One day of slavery is too much. But you look at, you know, empires like England who had slavery for 300 years, it's a lot different. You look at going back and further in history to when slavery wasn't a race thing, it was a religion thing. You look at the Israelites as slaves. You look at all the trials and tribulations they had. It is a human condition. Man seeks to control another man. Tyranny. But there's also this aspect of history which has forgotten is, when I say to my friends who understand history, even conservatives and, you know, people who think they know American history, I always say, well, talk to me about the American Revolution. Who did you fight? You know, every time you see these videos, I'm sure you've seen them over the years, about, you know, who did America fight its revolution against? And they're always looking for the same answer. They're always looking for the answer, the British, the Hessians. They're always looking for, that's who you declared your independence from. The truth is so much deeper than that. Because the English didn't play a big role in your revolution. They were just a little actor on the side. They are a footnote. They just happened to be the face and the army that you fought. But if you think the American Revolution was purely about fighting from Britain, you're doing the American Revolution a great disservice. The American War was only a small, small fraction. The American Revolution was about redefining man's relationship with man and man's relationship with his government. That is the real revolution that happened. That is one of the reasons you're exceptional, that you're unique, that you're different. You could have been like Ireland, or, well, Ireland would have been like you. Or you could have been like France, where you just went, yeah, we just want the Brits out. We just want the Brits out. We want to rule ourselves. And, you know, some people have pointed out, you know, the common theme of, well, the Irish wanted home rule. America had no taxation without representation. There's some similarities there, but America went a lot further. You read your Declaration of Independence, you understand why they went a lot further, how they went a lot further. You read the Declaration of Independence of other nations who have fought a revolution. You cannot compare any of them to the American Declaration of Independence. And there's a reason why. The reason why is America just didn't say what they were against. You read the Declaration of Independence, there's 27 imputations against the king, 27 things I hate about you, 27 reasons why I am breaking up with you, 27 reasons why I want to kill you. But you notice their location on that wonderful document, it's halfway down. You got to do a lot of reading till you get to the first point of, hey, here's why I don't like you. The American Revolution, the American founders, Thomas Jefferson, that evil slaveholder, wrote that document in large part telling us what we are for. They are for all men being created equal. If you truly believe in slavery, those words don't cross your mouth. Hell, there's a lot of people today who don't even understand what slavery is, through ignorance and not reading history, who don't even understand the words all men created equal. That is a great phrase. That is a great principle that in truth, in, even to 2018, 242 years after your founding, no one in the world has ever truly gotten. No one has ever truly practiced it, but it is something we still strive for, or that we maybe should strive for, that all men are created equal. If you truly believe all men are created equal, how can one man tell another man how to live and still be consistent with that overriding principle? That you have certain rights, you are born with them. Government does not give you these rights, you are born with them. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Or the original writing, life, liberty, and property. And that the role of government is not to give you rights, is not to be the grantor of these rights. The role of government is to protect these rights. That is why the American Revolution was exceptional. And there's only one revolution like it. Now, in case you're thinking, well, that's just some Irishman's opinion. Well, it'd be funny that, because a lot of my opinions are heavily influenced by, oh, who are those? Oh, yeah, the founders. If I may quote, you know, your second president of the United States, John Adams. What do we mean by the revolution? The war? That was no part of the revolution. It was only an effect and a consequence of it. The revolution was in the hearts and minds of people before a drop of blood was shed. That was John Adams. The revolution, the American Revolution, was an idea. It was an idea that man is meant to be free. That man is not meant to be put in chains, whether it is actual chains or whether it is chains by law. Whether you just hold them back. Whether you judge them. They saw what was happening around the world. Some of them escaped from different places or had ancestors who did. Where even to this day in 2018, you are judged by some label. What class system do you belong to? What education do you have? What's your race? What's your gender? What's your sexuality? You can be judged positively or negatively, even to this day on them. They understood that that type of slavery was all too common, and they said, enough of it. You see this in constant people who fight for freedom in America. Where the late, great, reverend Dr. Martin Luther King spoke of, I want to live in a country where I am judged by the content of my character, not the color of my skin. We still have that battle today. How many people actually seek to be judged by the content of their character? Or do we like these labels? You saw this in many other times throughout history where people want to be judged. People want to be free. That is man's ultimate aim, is freedom. Your revolution was all about giving that freedom, fighting for that freedom. It wasn't fighting against the British. You could have been fighting against the Eskimos. They are, it doesn't matter. Their part in the story is very minuscule. It's just, they're a footnote. They could have been fighting against the Chinese. They could have been fighting against the French. They could have been fighting against any other nation. They're only the footnote. The American Revolution was not about who you were fighting or what you were fighting against or the things you had against the king. It was what you were fighting for. A brighter tomorrow, a freer and more prosperous tomorrow, where man is let to be free. Where you have the poem of the Emperor Lazarus, give me your tired, your weak, and your huddled masses. A poem that is so often destroyed by so many commentators today. That was the greatest slam on Europe and the rest of the world. It was saying, you know all those people you say can't make it? Oh, well, they don't have the right degree, or they don't have the right college, or they don't belong to the right race, or they don't have the right class. You know all those people you say can't do anything, who are just worthless, who are just a lumping proletariat, to quote Karl Marx? You give me those people. You give me those people and I will give them an opportunity you wouldn't do. And look at their good works, look at their deeds. They will achieve more than you will. And you have all the right pedigree, quote unquote. This is a battle that has been fighting for the longest period of time. And I have bad news for you. It will always be fought. We will never live in a world, and if anyone tells you, I believe they are lying to you. We will always fight in a world where one man or one person will look down on another person going, I'm better than you because of my size of my bank account. I'm better than you because I'm better looking than you. I'm better than you because I went to Harvard. You will always have people looking down on other people. It's not because it's an American thing or an Irish thing or an English thing. It is a human condition. We love looking down our noses at other people. The modern day version might be of how you vote. I'm better than you. I voted for Donald Trump. No, maybe. Maybe on that little blip. Congratulations. But you're not a better person than me, because it's the content of my character that matters. There's a reason that people need to understand the French Revolution. So many people aspire today to the French Revolution. Even people in America. Because they haven't read history. Or they are ignorant of the history. Or they don't care. The French Revolution was all about, everyone thinks, you know, Americans, they look at the three labels in the French Revolution, liberty. Oh, that's me. I like liberty. I like freedom. Where they fell apart was they fell apart on the third label, brotherhood. Where it's my side. Where it's all about my side. It's me and you. If you happen to share the same opinions as me, we're okay. It's we gotta get them. They're the problem. And there was no rooting of principles of freedom in the French Revolution. It was all about my side versus your side. Principles be damned. And either side imposed their will on other people. Except they just happened to enforce their will with the guillotine. If you truly want a revolution and you want America to be exceptional, hear this message, please. If you want a revolution, it's not up to me to say don't. I will be on the side of, it's not a smart idea, it won't end well. But if you truly believe that is the only salvation to your nation, that is the only way forward, then please start winning the argument. Start making the case of not what you're against. I am sick to death of my friends on the right and on the left. I look through my Facebook page several times a day. I have friends on all sides of different ideologies. I could count 90%, if I was to do a rough estimate in my head, are telling me why they don't like the other side. Vast majority of my friends on the right are, the Democrats suck. The Democrats are horrible people. The Democrats are anti-Americans. My few friends on the left, Donald Trump, I don't like him. Everyone loves to tell you what you're against. If you truly want a revolution, then follow America's founders. Don't follow what I am telling you. Follow the path of your founders and why you're exceptional. Forget what you're against. Forget the things you don't like. Sure, write them down and put them down. But before you tell me what you're against, tell me what you are for. Tell me the things you will stand for, the things that you think are eternal. Tell me how you want government to be run. Tell me what you like. Tell me what defines you. Do you believe in all men been created equal? Do you think all man has a certain amount of rights, everyone, regardless of who you voted for, regardless of your class, your gender, your sexuality, or any other label that we put on you in society? Do you think you have certain rights? And if so, what are those rights? Start winning that argument. Start laying that foundation. Because if you truly believe in revolution, and that is the path you are following, and you don't make this argument, you're not going to be exceptional. You will not be America. You will not be the nation your founders set up. And the proof of that is the Declaration of Independence. Before we finish up and move on, I want to address an article just to, on a separate point. There's this article that's become viral over the last couple of years. And it's an unbelievably stupid article. And I rarely say that. There's this article in Vox about, you know, the three reasons the American Revolution was a mistake. They talk about slavery. They talk about Native Americans. And they're the first two reasons. The third reason is the system of government. They make the case for a monarchy. You know, there's this argument that happens, and I see it on all sides of the aisle, when it affects you. This argument was under Obama, and it's now under Trump. In different circles. This idea that, you know, well, what we need is, you know, we need legislation to do their job. If Congress won't act, I will, was Obama's great line. The Constitution be damned. If Congress won't act, I will. We need to start making the case of why, you know what, if you read the Founding Fathers and you read the way they set up government, it wasn't to act quickly. In fact, at some times it was to act painfully slow. Really, really slowly. That's one of the reasons senators were given a 6-year term. Because if you had a 2-year term and you just had the main body of Congress being elected every 2 years, you could have major changes in your legislation each and every 2 years. You could have quote-unquote wave elections. You could have populist movements who would come in and make major damage in 2 years and would take a long period of time to undo and to change. Your founders were not fans of policy that just happened to get overdone overnight. Are there times the policy should act quick? Sure, cases of war. You know, if there's an enemy off the East Coast or the West Coast or attack is imminent, should legislation be quick? Depending on what the legislation is, sure. You know, you have to respond. But the vast majority of legislation, no, should be very well discussed. In fact, there was thoughts, and if you read enough of your founders' writings, of having a bill, I think it was the Jefferson Bill, where it had to be published before you could vote on so that people could read it. That was a discussion back in your Founding Fathers' day. Government is not meant to act quickly just because you wanted to. Government is supposed to act painfully, painfully slow. It's supposed to deliberate. It's supposed to discuss. It's supposed to discuss it among itself. But the reason it's supposed to move slow is so that your citizenry can be engaged. That your people can be engaged. Especially today when you look at these laws. You know, of all the times to make the case for why government should move slow, of all the times, now is the time to make that case. Because you look at these omnibus laws that even the Republicans, you know, the great Republican Party, who, no, I'm not here to play that game, sorry. You look at the laws they pass, it's not like you can read them in a couple of minutes. You look at some of the budgets, you look at some of the reports, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 pages. Obamacare, I believe, is 2,200 pages long. You want a case for why government should move slow. That's the reason why. So that you can take time as you, because the laws affect you the most as people, that you can sit down and read them. And then if you're unhappy with it or you love it, you can make your voices heard. That is why they were different. America's founders were not perfect men. They had many flaws, and I disagree with many of them on many different ideas and on many different acts they passed in legislature and in presidents. But you know what? When it comes to the Constitution and your founding documents, they're not perfect. But man, they're a very close second to being perfect. And we need to share why. Your founders were not dumb men. I would dare say you put America's founding fathers in the world today, in that legislature, There's not, I can't think of one person in the who has served in the White House or in Congress over the last 30 years that would keep their job over America's founders, even though I disagree with fundamentally with some of what they wrote. At different times, if you read enough of their writings and their papers, you will have disagreements with some of them too. But they were smart men. And we need to share their legacy. We need to share, now more than ever, why your system of government was exceptional.
This is Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on the Blaze Radio Network.